Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the podcast Grow the Fuck Up with me, Mariah. That was very enthusiastic of me. I've recorded this fucking intro like 67,000 times, so please forgive me. I'm just going to talk about a bit about my week and pretty much why I haven't posted in like a month. No, I'm just kidding. In about like 2 weeks, because I have been feeling really flat and I haven't really been able to, like, get myself in a role. And I think that's mostly because I've been in my period and I get PMS. Well, I'm self-diagnosed and, you know, the symptoms of PMS. So PMS is premenstrual syndrome or premenstrual tension. It's the physical and emotional symptoms leading up to your period and the days that your period is ending. So symptoms like breast pain, depression, anxiety, mood swings, irritability, bloating, fluctuation, weight, all that good stuff. And, you know, if you're a bit younger and or you just don't really understand what any of these symptoms mean, maybe go talk to someone with a uterus. So like your sister, or your mum, or your best friend, or a friend, or a teacher. And, you know, if you need the support, go to like a counsellor or your teacher, or, you know, it just depends who you get your support from. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I haven't. I haven't been diagnosed by a doctor, but it's not severe enough really to go do that. I'm pretty sure I can, you know, control it by myself by modifying a few things about my like diet, like my nutrition and my water intake and my daily lifestyle and all that sort of stuff. So it's just a matter of figuring out what helps me get through that week and through that episode of, you know, those physical and emotional changes. Basically, essentially, it's just like a hormonal imbalance in your brain. So it's like a chemical imbalance. And it's really important to kind of record what you go through so you know how to treat it and so it doesn't affect your life, like, immensely. I think a lot of people can get severe PMS and they treat it with, like, antidepressants and, you know, it's usually, they're the medications. Like, there's a few more medications you can have, but I suggest you go to your doctor and talk about that. I won't go into it too much, but don't go fucking take some antidepressants just because you think you have PMS. Just go to a doctor first, please. So today we are going to focus on how to like exceed the boundaries of your mental health. So basically, if you think you can't help yourself out of like angst or depression, or, you know, if you think your mental health is like depreciating and, you know, like if you feel like everything's getting too hard or there's a lot of weight in your shoulders at the moment, or, you know, like you think that one more thing that goes wrong is just going to set you off, and you feel like you can't get out of this hole, like if you feel like you cannot, you know, get better and feel better, well, this is sort of the uncomfortable reality that I'm going to like picture for you, that I'm going to draw a picture for you of how to get out of that. It's like a guide to how to, basically, everything is modifiable, right? Except for a few things. But you can change everything in your life. Like, you are always, there is so much shit you can change and help yourself. And the thing is, I've always watched people, like my close friends and family, just sit in a hole and not, you know, think that there's any way out, which is fine because I understand that. I get that. Myself, I've been through that, and that's why I can sort of tell you how to do it now. So yeah, I'm going to just basically give you something to after so that you can walk away with something that you are thinking about changing, or that you at least are aware that you can change something to help you stop digging that hole that you're in and just like filling it back up and getting out of it. So number one, what I'm going to talk about is looking out for the shit that limits you from like a better headspace. So being aware of what makes you feel like shit and being aware what makes you feel good is example of trial and error. So life is pretty much just trial and error, like the entire thing, everything that you do, everything that you achieve, everything that you fail at, it's just trial and error, right? And you know, that's a pretty crappy way of explaining, like having that as a life motto, I guess. Like, it's not very enthusiastic or rewarding, or like it's not very nice to say, but this is the reality of it. Like, if you aren't open to trying new things and, you know, doing different things to get yourself out of that mindset that you're in, like if you're in a bad headspace, if you're negative about everything, then you need to stop being a closed-minded twat and do something about it before you fall into a bigger fucking hole. So things that you can do to change anything in your life, like just an example, I suppose you could do alternative health. You know, you could go to acupuncturist or a naturopath, or a homeopath, anything that's like possibly traditional Chinese medicine, or just anything not Western medicine. Like, yeah, if you are getting the benefits from, you know, Western medicine, like a doctor, like your normal GP or your, you know, yeah, your GP, that's fine. But if something's not working for you, go to an alternative health professional. Like, it's a study. It's like a real thing. You know, I haven't done a lot of it, but I know, like, my mom has done Bowen therapy, and her shoulder was fucked, and she did like 2 sessions of Bowen therapy and she was fine. Sure, there's a lot of factors that play into it, but you know, maybe it's the placebo effect, but maybe, you know, it's the actual therapy of it. If you haven't, you know, like if you want to believe in God, or if you want to have faith in something, you know, go to a church. Talk to someone who is faithful to God, I guess. I'm not. I'm probably the worst person to even, like, I probably shouldn't even say that, because I'm very atheist. So, like, everything that I do is, you know, I just don't understand the concept. I don't understand how people can, like, I'm jealous that people can have faith in something that I deem is not real. Like, I don't believe it's real. But I'm not going to go into that. I'm just saying, I can't mentally understand it. I don't know why. Maybe I am a closed-minded twat, but I can be very open to things. So I used to when I was younger, and for some reason I just steered away from it, and I grew further and further and further away from the, you know, the concept of God. Like, I just don't understand it. But anyway, also, a lot of people that I worked with pushed it onto me a lot, which I just fucking even ran further and further away from it. So if someone's like pushing their religion or their, you know, values and morals onto you, tell them to piss off. I wish I did, but I didn't. But yet I'm here, and I definitely will fucking do it next time. So if you're ever like under pressure from someone about, you know, going to a church or reading the fucking Bible or something, just tell them to piss off and say that, no, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Sure, you know, maybe I will one day, but not when you're fucking pressuring this stuff on me. Another thing is, if you don't feel like going out with your friends, this is just an example, stay home. Tell them, I don't feel like going out, and I'm only going to limit, you know, the night for you. Like, I'm only going to limit what you guys are going to feel like. You're like, you're probably going to be worried about me, and you're probably going to keep checking up on me. You know, I don't feel like going out. Just say, I don't feel like going out, full stop. I don't feel right, like I'm not in the right headspace. Even if it's just your family and they want you to come see them, just say, I've got too much on. I'd love to come see you, but I just mentally cannot do it right now. You know, we'll organize a date another day. Okay. So also, I'm going to go into like the modifiable things you can change in your environment and your body and your mindset as well. So balancing your physical life out and your mental health is a major, major aspect of life, like a I'm not saying it's a successful life, but I'm just saying it's a more of a beneficial, you know, you'll probably reap the benefits of it. You'll be a lot happier than you are not without, you know, you can change anything in your life. So this is just what I'm going to go into. Physical clutter equals mindful clutter, right? So if you have a messy room and you feel confused or you feel mentally drained and flat and just like you can't focus on anything or you can't focus on one thing at a time. Just even if you're sitting in your room and your room's fucking messy, I'm a very messy person. I just chuck shit everywhere and then the next day I'll go clean it up because I'm lazy as well. So I'm very lazy. So just like picking up things that are in the corner of your room, like right, I like clean my room at, like mostly, but I have like a t-shirt and a pillow in the corner. My shoes aren't really like in the cupboard properly. And I fucking have this little Esky in my room for some fucking reason. I don't even know why. And you know, my table, I could give my table a wipe over. That would make me feel better because everything is clean. Your environment influences your mindset a lot. If you're in a as a family environment, if your family or your friends or your boyfriend is toxic, abusive, you know, if they gaslight you, if they treat you like shit, if the house is messy all the time and they don't clean after themselves, then your mental headspace, your headspace is going to suffer from that. And if you don't think that's true, then fucking take a look around you. Grow the fuck up and change it and then see how you feel and tell me I'm wrong. You won't. Yeah, so physical clutter equals mindful clutter, especially if you're also, it can be vice versa. So mindful clutter, if you're feeling stressed and confused and your environment is, you know, messy and you don't really know what's going on, that's probably, you know, a sign of your mental health also. So, you know, you can do vice versa. You can clean your shit up. You can try and get, you know, everything sorted in your life as well at the same time. Like, just work every day at a time or every step at a time. So if you're feeling stuck, like I was about like a month ago, and you don't know what you want to do and you're just like feeling like you're getting nowhere, put yourself in an uncomfortable situation and change something about your life. You know, about 2 months ago or 3 months ago, I went to the physio because my back was getting like, it was so sore and like I had joint pain and like not just my back, but everywhere else. And, you know, last year I stopped exercising and, like not last year, but when I got back about a month after I got back, I didn't do anything because I moved to Toowoomba. For about 6 months, I didn't do any exercise and my body suffered from it. It incredibly suffered from it. And I feel so much better now that I can, like I've never been able to run, you know, by myself or like just even go for a jog or something. Like I can now run pretty well. You know, I've had a few setbacks, like getting sick and stuff. I try not to do anything when I get sick because it just makes my body feel worse. And it's giving my body more stuff to, you know, reproduce, like, and build and, you know, repair and all that sort of stuff. So I've had setbacks, but in the last 3 months, I've been exercising almost every day. I've made so much progress. I feel so much better. My body doesn't hate me. It's not like collapse on itself. So those are just the things that I did to change my physical and mental, health. Essentially, I just needed something to change and I wanted to get better as well because I want to be able to play soccer next season. So like I need to be physically fit and ready and mentally ready to be able to train for the soccer season and you know, like just just get, it helps so much to have a hobby or a sport or just like even painting or something, or just like anything that helps you cope with your shit and sets you up for the future, essentially. Manifesting who you want to be is also, I guess, what you're doing to set your future self up, really, is just manifesting who you want to be, what you want to do with your life, how you want to feel, the type of people that you want to surround yourself with. Getting rid of toxic people is a fucking good thing. I don't think I've ever really realized how many toxic people I've actually gotten rid of, I guess. That sounds horrible, but I've just definitely, you know, moved away from the people that didn't make me feel good about myself and didn't make me feel happy, and it was just too much drama. I hate drama. I hate conflict. You know, I hate being in a friendship group or a friendship that just is constant back and forth. Just bullshit, really. Like, inconsiderate, unnecessary drama, really. So I think starting slow and taking, like, every day as a new action, like, taking an action in every day and changing something either every day or every week, or moving towards something that you can change, or that you can start or that you can finish. So slow is smooth, and, you know, like, smooth is fast. I learned that in training horses and stuff, like, doing things slowly becomes smoother, and then smooth becomes fast. So it's all like a work in progress, I guess. Like, from when you're learning to when you are, like, progressing and learning more and more, and then when you can finally teach someone else, you know, like, you're at that stage of what you, who you want to be, or, like, what you want to do, or who you want to date, or who you want to surround yourself with. If you're procrastinating on things that need to be done and you're giving yourself every reason why you can't do it or why it can wait another day, fucking take action or you'll never do it. Like, if you want to start a new diet, I'm not against diets, but I personally think diets are fucking the hardest thing in the world and probably the most unnecessary thing in the world. But if you're someone that can dedicate yourself, or if you want to be a person that can dedicate yourself to a diet or a, you know, or a program regime and just any sort of routine, which is, routines are great, you need to action it today or you will probably never do it. And that's like losing, like, that's like losing something that you want to be able to do. So if you're not going to do it today or this week, you're never going to do it. Like, I'm just putting it out there, because I almost didn't start a podcast, and within the last month I've just gone fuck it, like, absolutely just fuck it moment. Like, I was like, nah, I'm just gonna wing it. I have nothing set up, I have no notes or anything. Like, I literally wrote down, like, I wrote it down three times, like, three separate times of what I was going to speak about in my first episode, and I just, like, went off tangent so many times, but I think that's what made it great. So I think having no idea, you can start from nothing. You have to start somewhere. You know, if you ever thought about someone who has been, I say, if you, there's a lot of successful people out there that started from nothing, had no experience, had nothing to do with what, like, had no experience in what they were going to do or what they decided to do. Like, if they were starting a business and they've never started a business before, they didn't study business, they didn't study, like, legal, they just had no idea, yet now they own a very successful business. It's because they probably started from nothing, they actioned it, they learnt how to do it slowly, you know, moving, like, taking every day as an action and every day as a new beginning or an end is something that you can change. about your life. Like, you can take every day and be like, yep, I'm going to do this, this, and this. I'm going to have a productive day. Or, no, tomorrow I need a rest day. I need to just sit down, eat some food, watch a movie, go for a walk, talk to my friends, you know. Everything that you do in your life will change something in your future. Like, there is no timeline that tells you what's going to happen. So if you want something to happen, fucking make it happen and do it yourself. Stop focusing on the past, because the past is gone. Like, you can't rewind time. You can change your future and change the present moment. So, you know, you can literally do anything. Oh my God, I could go on this for days. Like, if you're feeling shit right now and you don't want to be sitting, go for a walk, or just put your earphones in and walk around your house or something. I don't know, do some stretches, do some meditation. Moving on from that, before I go into any more tangents, we're going to talk about the mental changes that you can make. This is probably a little bit more in depth than physical. This is more about your body image and more like your self-conscious ability. So everyone is self-conscious. It depends if you're positive or negative. And I bet you probably never heard that, because you think self-conscious has to be a negative thing about yourself. Your self-conscious mind is focusing on what you're insecure about. You can change that. You can change what you like about yourself, and you can change how you focus on yourself. So I guess for me, what I don't like about myself, I'll start with what I don't like about myself. I don't like the fact that I can't talk smoothly, and, you know, it doesn't just flow from my mouth sometimes. Like, sometimes when I'm passionate about something, like, for instance, now, yeah, I can talk about it, but half of it doesn't make sense, so I'm really sorry about that, but I'm trying here. And talking on a podcast openly about my life, like, am I fucking insane? Like, it's too late now, like, I can't go back and do it, so I can't rewind, like, I can delete everything, but I'm not going to do that, because otherwise I'm just going to go back into the same old fucking routine that I had before, and then I'll just, like, I don't know, do nothing, just work and fucking feel fed up because I couldn't do something. So whether or not this progresses any further than what it has, I'm going to keep doing it until I feel it is right to stop or to begin something new. Every end has a new beginning. So yeah, I've always been very uncomfortable talking when I'm tired, especially. You know, I've never helped myself like enjoy talking. So this is kind of me, obviously I've said this in my previous podcast, like, this is going to be a massive challenge for me. So I think challenging yourself in ways, more ways than one, you know, having a good work relationship with your, like, a relationship with your coworkers, that is something that I love. Like, I have really good friendships in my, where I work. Like, last night, I had so much fun. It was actually one of the best nights. I didn't even think about, well, I did, obviously, I was working, but, you know, we actually have a laugh and we can be sarcastic and we can be mean to each other, but know that it comes from a good place. Well, I hope so. Like, I was on the floor crying last night during my break because I don't even know why me and this Aaron was just fucking pissing ourselves laughing. And, you know, the conversations that we have sometimes are serious, and that they're actually really, like, good to have in contact, like, have a decent conversation with other people that you can mostly joke around with. Like, you always are having, like, you're never having a serious conversation at work, really, because your work is serious. So it's like the balance, it balances out and just makes my entire day, like, it makes working easy. And yeah, so having people that you can talk to if you're self-conscious about talking as well, having people that you're comfortable with, having, you know, just practicing having decent and real conversations with them is a massive thing. And I think in the last month I have grown so much just from talking and having real conversations, because I feel like starting this podcast has really challenged me to bound just to take leaps and bounds over boundaries that I think I had in the past, and now it's kind of given me a reason to have explicit and general and genuine conversations with people more than I did before, because I was always like, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm not gonna fucking speak about it anyway. So learning is a massive thing for talking, I think. I just went on the biggest tangent in the world, but number two, I'm very insecure. I'm very self-conscious about my body. And so I'm negatively self-conscious about my body, most things. I fluctuate in weight easily. I can go from 70 to 75 kilos in a week. You know, that's not healthy. Something's wrong if that happens. I actually just sort of burped then, sorry. So 70 to 75, that bracket of in kilograms is what I fluctuate in a lot. I don't think I've been lower than 70 since my gap year, because I shed a lot of weight. You know, I was always physically active and working. So once I stopped working, I put on fat and body fat. And body fat isn't a bad thing. You know, having tummy rolls and thick thighs and stretch marks is fine. I'm not insecure. I'm not negatively insecure about it. I personally I'm not insecure because other people see that as, you know, bad or gross or whatever. I don't fucking care what they think. It's more me and how I feel about myself. Sometimes I'm oh my God, damn, I got a body like a back. Yuck, I'm not going to say that actually. I look good today. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm not today. And it also really depends on what I'm wearing. I have a very poor sense of style. So it's quite embarrassing. It's so hard for me to feel good in an outfit because I just don't trust. I look in the mirror and I'm oh my God, I feel like shit. I don't look, I don't feel like I, myself in this outfit. I don't feel like I can, you know, be comfortable in public. Comfortability in my clothes, as in if I'm always pulling my pants up, or I'm always undoing the button on my jeans, or I'm, you know, always fixing my bra straps, or I'm always, I don't know, anything to do with clothes makes me uncomfortable, unless it's either baggy or tight and there's no in between. If I'm pulling my pants up, that's a hard no for me. I can't do that. If I'm out in public, it just annoys the shit out of me. And my body fluctuates a lot. So sometimes I don't fit into things, and then the next day I do. Not the next day, but maybe in a month or so I do. So if I feel uncomfortable in an outfit, I always change, and I just keep changing. What's that song that Katie changes her mind she changes her clothes? It's a real thing. It happens. And I do it. I 100% do it. And if anyone else does it, you're not alone, and it's fine. Put on a good outfit. Put on a cute outfit. Go outside. Put makeup on. You don't... it's fine to wear makeup every day. It's fine to not wear makeup every day. It's fine to never wear makeup. You don't need makeup. But if you want to enhance those features on your face with makeup, that's what makeup is. It's just enhancing your features in an aesthetic way, I guess. Go for it. Do you. Who fucking cares what anyone thinks? Do it for your self-conscious. Do it for your brain positivity. Do it for your mental health, please. Anyway, I'm going to talk about what I like about myself now. And that is my mindset and a few other things. So my ability to bring myself out of a mental state. I know what I can do and what I can't do. So I'm going to go into depth here of an experience that I had when I was younger. When I was about 14 to 17, I had a bit of a rough period mentally. And a lot of people didn't really know I guess my best mate Sam did, and my mum eventually did, and like my family. But there was like something that triggered me to go into like a depressive state, like depression I'm talking about, like a depressive state for about 3 years. And I never really realized how bad it was until like I got out of it. Something happened in the community and to someone I knew, like everyone knew, and I was really beating myself up about the fact that I was selfish about it and selfish to those who were affected most. And I also just wish, like, I did everything. Like, I was praying. Like, it was fucking weird how fucked I was. I was just so caught up in my own brain that I was overthinking everything. I just wish I could take their place, you know, that what happened. I'm not going to go into that, but things that I could have changed or could have, you know, that maybe could have been avoided. And, you know, all these things that I didn't have any control over, yet I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And I just wanted to put myself in a hole. Like, I literally wanted to off myself. And, you know, and it was the worst time of my life. But I think I got, so I was in a relationship at the start of my depressive period, and then in the middle at the end as well. So when I was 16 or 17, or maybe like 16 or 15 or something, I can't remember, but I eventually just said to my mom, I like broke down. I was in my room crying. I was on my bed and I just said, "Mom, I don't want to live. Like, I don't want to be here anymore. And I don't know why." And I felt like this for a very long time. And so what she did, so she booked me in to get acupuncture with a naturopath. And he was like both, he had obviously profession in both areas. So I went, did two sessions. They were like an hour and a half maybe, or an hour. I think maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours, because it was a very long time that I was there. I literally just went into his, you know, into the place of work, like place of naturopath and acupuncture. And I literally just sat down and he was like, "Why do you want to have acupuncture? Like, what can I help you with?" And I just like broke down and bawled my eyes out about everything that happened, from like my childhood to this recent tragedy that happened, and you know, like my relationship at that time. And it was the fact that I could just release all this emotion and thought and like all these feelings to one person that had no idea, like no relation to me, had no, you know, I didn't know the guy. He was like 60 years old, and I felt really bad for like putting all the shit on him, but he was there to listen and he was there to help me. Like, they can't, acupuncturists, like maybe some don't or maybe some do, I'm not really sure, but you know, they need to know what's happening and what's wrong to help you. So, and he also put me on like a few natural homeopathic remedies, and then I would just lay down on like a table, like a bed table, like a table, I don't fucking know, a bed. And you know, he put so acupuncture is like thin needles that they put in like strategic points in the body. It's a lot to do with releasing pain, like joint and muscular, and you know, stress, and you know, there's so many different points in the body that it focuses on. So I could go into that, but I'm not going to. And yeah, so I had it in like, I had like one in my temples, like either side of my temples, which is either side, like above your ear, like right on the soft part of your brain, pretty much behind your eyebrow and eye. I had two there, like I had one in my forehead. I had heaps in my arms and my wrists and my legs and my like calves and my feet. And I did two sessions, you know, I think I talked to him the most, the first one, and then the second one, I think it sort of just died down a bit. Like, I felt very good after the first one. I went again, felt really great. And then I didn't go again for the third one because I felt like I was a lot better. And I think, personally, like, my opinion is that I let all of this tension out and I bawled my eyes out and I finally could talk to someone that didn't know or had an opinion about my childhood or about my adolescence and, you know, about my family or my friends or anything. And they just knew from a professional perspective that they can help me in the way that they are trained for and that, like, they're there to listen and help you. So I think what I've taken away from this is that speaking to someone about your feelings, no matter whether you know them or you don't, you know, like, I really want to go to therapy with someone I don't know so I can just fucking unleash hell, like, the shit that I have right now. Like, I can't afford it, but I'm going to do it one day. You know, having that has taught me, like, one thing of bringing myself out of a bad mental state. I'm very grateful for my mum, like, my parents for doing that. Like, they paid for it. Mum, dad paid for it. You know, I didn't have to worry about that at that time because I was so young. But it is, if you're one of those people that you haven't quite gotten to the state of depression or anxiety or whatever, you're very lucky. But if you ever do, just know that there are things that you can do and people that you can see and tell. Don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, I didn't until the very last minute. And, you know, a lot of people probably haven't ever heard of that. Like, even my best friend at the time probably hasn't really understood or, like, heard me say that. And I think, you know, I never talked to my sisters about it until I was probably, like, 17. And that was just another aspect. And that was just, like, another period of my life where I was also under a lot of stress and confusion and have a lot of realizations and stuff like that. So having someone to talk to is just something you need to do it. If you're not comfortable, like, I know someone that's not comfortable with talking to new people, they're comfortable with talking to people they know about their feelings, that's fine. Maybe me, I would rather having someone I don't know and doesn't know anything about me so they can't tell me all these other things that have happened in my life, and they can just say professionally from their perspective, like, from their professional perspective and like their training, they just tell you why, how, and what to do to help yourself and why all this shit has happened to you. So since then, from, you know, I've been in a very low state for the last, like, year, I guess. From coming home from last year, I was in a very bad mental state. And what I did was just, I said, fuck it. And I tried as hard as I could to enjoy my time at the station. And, you know, it was really hard and I didn't want to do it. But I, you know, I could have done a lot more to help myself. But from what I did, I'm very glad. And I'm very glad that I stuck it out and was able to pull myself out of that mental state. And by the time I left, I was actually really sad to go, even though I was so happy to leave and go home. And then from there, I haven't been the best, honestly, mentally. I've been so shit. And the last year has been really hard because I haven't had a consistent, like, I haven't had a full-time job. And I haven't, you know, I'm studying and I have shift work. And, you know, it's like a shit sort of situation, but it's also really good to learn from and to get everything, like, to take advantage of it. Like, I can do whatever I want. Like, I'm a casual, I can take days off, you know, I'm working weddings. So if there's a wedding on, obviously I'm either working it or I'm not, because there's so many people who are available to work it. And I obviously shift work works like that. So, you know, as long as I put my unavailability in, I'm fine. I can do whatever I want. As long as I tell my manager that I can work and that I can't work, then I'm fine. And as long as I get my shit together with my personal training certificate and like all of that sort of shit, I'm fine. And then I can do everything else in my personal life that I want to do. Like, prioritize what is going to affect you most and then work down from that. What I spoke about before was, going to a physiotherapist. Oh my God, I just stuttered. And then I literally did like one session and I did all these exercises, and then I started to run and stretch, and then I started going to the gym and just stretching and going to the gym and going for walks and going for and running has helped me so much, and my mental health has skyrocketed. Like, I've never been more enthused to exercise and to help myself and to help me get my life together. I don't think if I started exercising 2 months ago that I would be making this podcast. Like, moving your body is so intensely good for you. Like, so good for you. So if you are not moving your body at all, just go for a walk or do some stretches, learn yoga. You know, when I become a personal trainer, like a qualified, I will talk about all of this stuff. But for now, I can't really. Number two that I'm positively self-conscious about is my vocabulary on paper. I like to write. I could write a book on how to stop giving a fuck what people think. Like, I'd repeat myself so many times, but I could write and enjoy it. And, you know, just the resonance you can have with yourself when you begin focusing on what you like and what is important to you is just amazing. And, you know, like, I've always felt that I've had a good mindset based on my experiences, and my having high school teach me the fact that I'm not good at putting sentences together. I'm good at learning words and learning what they mean and incorporating it into a sentence. But by the end of year 12, like, I was fine. I repeated myself a lot, but I mostly made the point. I think by the time my exams came around, I could actually write very well, I think. You know, maybe my teachers would say otherwise, but you know, like, I used to, me and Sam, my best mate, what did we do? I don't know when we got diaries, but we got, like, journals when we were maybe, like, 14 or 12. I'm not sure. I'm not even sure that we knew each other then. But 14, definitely from 14, we had our journals, and we used to write in them mostly about boys, boy problems. And mine was a lot about boys and the army, because I really wanted to join the army when I was from about 15. I did work experience once at Anoga Barracks, and I fucking loved it. And even last night I was talking to my friend Laura, and she, you know, is interested in going, you know, studying something that puts her in the field in war zones and, you know, helping women and just the people out in, like, war-affected countries and stuff like that. That's probably not true and correct, but the point is she, like, reignited something in me, and I really, like, I always wanted to do journalism and communication and do war correspondence, and, you know, maybe one day I will, but I'm like, now I'm thinking about it, it's really annoying me. So, like, my English has definitely, I've taken advantage of how I can incorporate in that to my life. And, you know, I used to write about that all the time. But the reason is because I wanted to go to the army so much was because I felt like I had to prove myself, or actually, like, make myself suffer from everything that I did. Like, that's how poor of a mental state I was in from about 14. Like, I just wanted to not even prove to myself. I just wanted to suffer from all the things that I thought I did wrong. I didn't do wrong. Like, it's so fucked how bad I thought I had done. Like, I didn't, like, it's insane because I have never done anything that bad to make myself want to, like, I should never have thought that ever. And I don't know if that makes sense to anyone, but anyway, I'm not going to go on that tangent. So yeah, we used to write in these journals and, you know, I used to write poetry and there's just really creative. I guess I'm a bit of a romantic, and I think that a lot of it comes from the romantics in, like, not genetically, I just mean reading poets, like the romantic poets from, you know, in the 19th and 18th century really inspired me to write my own sort of, I guess, poetry. Involving everything that I ever had problems with. So writing down your feelings is definitely a very therapeutic way of dealing with your emotions and your feelings. I don't really do it anymore. I barely do it. I write in that journal my fucking expenses now, I'm pretty sure. So if anyone ever finds it, don't read it unless I say so. And why I've always felt like I've had a good mindset and I've always been able to write down my, you know, feelings and stuff is because based on my experiences, I've watched other people and I've known other people's potential and their limitations. And it makes me think, if I was in their position, what would I change to make myself do something and make myself realize I could possibly do it? You know, I don't have a lot of confidence myself, but I see so many people that have the potential to be great and they just keep digging themselves in a hole because they think they can't get out of it and because they don't change the way that they do things and the way that they think and the way that they could, you know, let's just say if someone has a sore shoulder, like if their shoulder is fucked and nothing is helping them, and they're only going to, like, the GP, and they're not going to a physio, and they're not going to a PT and telling them, like, my shoulder's fucked, but I need to build it up. Like, if they're not doing that, then they're not fucking helping themselves, are they? Like, go to a fucking physiotherapist. Yeah, it'll cost $90, but if you get the initial exercises that you need to build it up, you can just keep doing that until you can afford to go back again, you know? Like, just take some fucking steps and initiative to change your life and all go to Bowen therapy like my mum did and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And you can try new things, and if they don't work out, that's fine. But keep trying new things. Like, oh my God, I hate when people just fucking don't do anything to help themselves. I'm one of those people. But if you're being a closed-minded twat and you're not going anywhere, maybe just fucking think about what you're doing. So my childhood and adolescence was definitely the difference between me and all my other friends. Obviously, everyone's life is different. I was basically a hippie child. I still feel like that. I was raised to experience things for myself in order to figure out my own life without the pressure of everyone else. And, you know, I have the experience of having a humble background and having low socioeconomic, you know, background and, you know, definitely not the lowest. Like, I wasn't not having food or anything. I always had food. I always had shelter. I always had water. I always had a toilet and shower, you know, all those things. So I'm very grateful for that. And people have it a lot worse. So, you know, when people complain about, you know, fucking, when people are so ignorant of the fact that people have so much worse than them, like, have it so much worse than them, just makes me want to fucking, like, just grab them and be like, grow the fuck up. Like, yes, cool, you built a new house, now you're poor. Well, you fucking could build a new house, couldn't you? Someone's probably living on the street and fucking not even eating or drinking water, and they're probably dying. So just, I don't know, do something about it. It's not fucking my problem. It sure as fuck is yours, so you better change something. You will always get out of a situation if you help yourself and if you realize that, you know, you've just built a house. What else can you do, huh? like, you've just fucking built a house. Surely you have, you know, surely you can fucking find a source of money to do something else. Like, obviously you started from nothing and now you've built a house. Help yourself out, please. That's just an example, just saying. Also, for those people who, you know, if you're one of these people or you know someone who thinks that, you know, the current situation in Afghanistan with the Taliban overtaking the government and shit like that, and people saying, oh my God, just, you know, for Australia to not take in refugees because we have to fix our own nation first. Number one, we are not a third world country. Number two, we're not in a fucking war zone. Number three, you don't have fucking crazy people with machetes, guns. You're like, your fucking women aren't having to hide themselves and marry like a guy with four other wives, you know. And yeah, half of it we probably don't. There's probably so much more to the whole situation that we don't know about. Yet you're complaining that you can't fucking do something in your own country when there's people dying, like even in Africa and all those third world countries. Could you be any more fucking close-minded and narcissistic and selfish? Like, I hope people that have that mindset finally realize how stupid they are. And I hope they fucking lose friends and family over it, because that's fucked. That was really intense to say, but I'm just saying, if you think like that, you need to change something about yourself, mate. Moving on. So what I do to change my perspective or to make myself feel good and, like, internally, not externally, is, like, focusing, obviously, what is modifiable. I've said that 5,000 times. Exercising and stretching makes myself feel mentally, physically, and I'm not focused on changing a specific area of my body. I'm just focusing on either putting on more muscle or losing a bit of weight somewhere, you know, like, I don't care. As long as I'm seeing results, I'm fine. I'm happy with it, because I know that my body type is never going to be the same as someone else's. So stop comparing yourself, because you are only going to grow in the way that your body grows and not the way that you want it to. So you can modify things like to suit the physique that you're going for, but you're never going to look like someone else. Just saying. You're always going to have the same physique, but your body is never going to look the same as someone else's. Finding out new cool things about the body to change with yourself, like to learn and then to apply that to your life. Like moving in the morning, like not looking at a phone, and letting natural light wake you up, like leave your blinds open a little bit and let the natural light wake you up. Obviously, if you need to sleep, then close them bitches up and do not let any peak of light through. But what I'm saying is, don't look at your phone for the first 30 minutes that you wake up. You will thank me. You'll feel so much better. If you go for a walk in the morning, like me, myself and Courtney went for a walk this morning, didn't look at my phone, didn't say good morning to Liam or anything like that. I just went for a walk, came home, had a shower, had brekkie, did the rest, and now I'm here. So, you know, there's small things that you can do in the morning and, you know, throughout the day to replenish, like, your energy, like meditation or stretching, like relieving stress on your muscles and running, giving yourself a boost of serotonin and dopamine and all of that sort of stuff. Reading and writing and conversations. If you're feeling like shit, write that shit down or talk to someone. Call someone up and be like, I need some advice. I just don't feel, you know, good. Like yesterday I rang Liam and I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Like, I can't get it right. And he just said, stop putting an expectation out for yourself. You know, yes, your first episode was great, but that doesn't mean every other episode's going to be the same. You're not always going to be the same. So stop putting pressure on yourself and stop having that expectation. Like, stop setting standards for yourself, because you can always go above and beyond that. And it doesn't matter if you're not as high as those standards, you know, like, it doesn't matter, as long as you're trying and having a go and, you know, rewarding yourself and helping people, it doesn't matter. Not everything's not going to be the same. Nothing is ever going to be the same in your life. So, yeah, talking to people helps. So do whatever you can that makes you feel comfortable, as well as uncomfortable, that makes you feel like you're going to change from having a conversation with someone. Or, you know, if you feel like you could just change a little bit about your mindset by writing something down about yourself, or writing the things down that you like about yourself and focusing on them instead of what you think is negatively of whatever you're insecure about. Sometimes I take like selfies when I don't feel attractive, or like for some reason it just boosts my like realistic focus on what I like about myself, my features, and I'm just like real with myself. Like, it brings me down to earth as well as giving me the confidence I have. And what I mean by that is like I know I'm not the most prettiest girl in the world or anything like that, you know. You should never think that, because there's going to be someone who's always prettier than you, and, you know, in their own way. You're always going to be beautiful no matter what. So as long as you are yourself and you figure out what you like and what you don't like and how to change things, you're always going to be the most important thing is knowing who you are, what you're worth, and what you can do. So another thing that you can change is, if you're on the pill or the bar or like any hormonal means of contraception, or, you know, any means of controlling your period or your sexual health, say if you're someone who doesn't, you know, if you suffer from really bad cramps, like intensive, you know, fucking horrible, painful cramps, go see your doctor, because there are things that you may have that you have no idea about. Like, some people have polycystic ovaries, polycystic syndrome, I think. You know, like, I know a few girls that have had cysts burnt off their ovaries and stuff like that because, you know, they were having these pains and these symptoms and they went to a doctor, and that's obviously the path they have to follow in order to find out what's wrong with you. So, but the thing is, if you're on the pill or the bar for sexual means, like your sexual health, obviously not having babies is the point of this, and you just like feel like it's not helping you, your body or your mental state or like anything, just stop doing, go to your doctor, tell them, you know, I don't feel good, I want to change something, can I get off this, or can I go to a lower dose of estrogen or progesterone or whatever it is, or, you know, can I just, if it's for your sexual health, just try condoms, or, you know, if you're with a, like, one partner, like, sexual partner, then tell them, you know, wearing condoms, that's it. You know, you need to make sure you tell the people that you're having sex with, whether you're on the pill or whether you're not. You know, if you want a fucking kid, then up to you, mate. But the point is, if you need to change, if you feel like you need a change and you feel like you need to just test what it's like to be off the pill, you're gonna need some time for it to like slowly move out of your body first, out of your system. It's going to make you feel better. Like, that's what I did. Haven't been on the pill for like 2 years now, and I feel so much better than I ever have. And mentally, I think they were the worst periods of my life. Definitely. Like, yeah, I was on the pill from like 16, and I think that was probably some of the worst mental like health issues I've ever been through. So, yeah, it's all about trial and error. You know, you can do so many things, trial new things. If you're on the pill, maybe try the bar, or don't try the bar. Don't try any hormonal. Or you can go on to like the IUD and all of that sort of stuff. You need to really do your research and talk to your doctor about it. Like, go to a, like, if you're a woman or a man, you know, if you've got problems, go to a doctor. There's so many things online you can do as well if you're like not very confident with talking about that sort of stuff to a doctor. Yeah, so just basically trial and error. If you feel better on the pill, go on to the pill, whatever. I've read books where it like states that it literally changes your brain and your personality and all this sort of stuff with like that. Like I might even do an episode on the pill, to be honest. I might do a lot of research and try to get someone who knows a lot about it and bring them on and talk about that, if that's something that you guys would listen to. Okay, so moving on to the journey of self-love. Dun, 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 dun. Sorry. self-love, basically, essentially, it's like considered to be a basic human necessity, yet a moral flaw at the same time. So what I mean by that is some people, like society, has always considered the people to project their self-love as vanity and narcissism and egotism. Like they look like, I just posted something on my Instagram and it's like three photos of me, like of my face, and I do have makeup on, but like it's sort of like it's in the sun and I don't have that much makeup on. Like I doesn't really look like I have makeup on, apart from my eyelashes. And you know, I posted that and I said, point out my insecurities. Actually, it was like, find my flaws, swipe to find my flaws. And I didn't mean it in like a, you know, probably most people are like, oh my God, you don't have flaws. But I meant it in, I'm obviously insecure about something about my face, you know, like I don't like my hair in my face. Like a lot of people have said that I have a really hairy face, which I do. I have a lot of baby fluff. And, you know, I've always wanted to get rid of it, but I'm too scared that it'll just grow back even thicker, so I just leave it. But I'm actually, like, not that bothered now. So I posted it saying, you know, like, here I am, here are my flaws that I don't like about myself. And then all these people are like, oh, my God, there are no flaws. Exactly. So why the fuck do you have flaws, you know? Like, why do you, like, most people are insecure because other people will look at you and be like, ew, she's got a hairy face. Ugh. You know why someone's fucking judging you for that? Because they don't like themselves. Okay? Because they don't love themselves and they don't know how to, and they don't know what, you know, real human beings look like and what real features look like. The one world is a lot of plastic surgery and, you know, that's fine. Like, I'm probably going to get Botox in my forehead because I don't want my wrinkles to show. Like, I'm not afraid to say that. Like, if I don't want to look, if I want to feel young and, you know, youthful and feel like I'm still at, you know, I'm still peaking, I'm still going through my life, I will do whatever the fuck I want. I don't care. You guys, like, can think whatever you think of me. Like, I don't give a fuck. There's people out there that I know that don't like me, or at least I hope they don't like me, because well, I don't care, number one, but two, I get to just prove my point even more and more, and it probably annoys the shit out of them. So, you know, posting that Instagram thing, after I posted it, I went up to Liam and I was like, what do you see when you see this? And he goes, confidence, pretty girl or some shit, he says. And no, like, he's very supportive, but you know, confidence is the main thing. People see confidence as vain, like vanity and egotistic and narcissistic, you know. And I think for myself, I've definitely thought that about other people. Like recently, I have said some things to people where I've been like, you're a I just want to tell them they're a fucking cockhead. And, you know, that maybe you shouldn't be so fucking vain and all this shit. But they're probably actually love themselves so much in a sort of like a oblivious way that they treat everyone else like shit. Like, I think self-absorbed and self-love is a very different thing. And I think self-absorbed, like, if you're self-absorbed, it's mainly you focus on everything, like, everything about yourself. And if someone doesn't agree with you, and if someone doesn't look the right way, or if they look at you wrong, or if they, you know, if someone else doesn't, they aren't in the same friend group as you, and they, or they go, oh yeah, I haven't seen you out in a while, mate, probably because your missus makes you stay home. No, cunt. That's not, like, that's what pisses me off. And just, oh, I'm so sensitive sometimes. This is going off topic. But, you know, confidence is projected in a lot of different ways. And I think that for myself, I have learned in the last, like, 3 months that, like, that's the truth. And I think that I've really taken, you know, offense to a lot of people projecting their confidence. And I think that's because I'm not very confident. So I think loving yourself means that you're able to love other people and that you're able to see their potential and all their flaws, but yet think they are beautiful. Like, yet you can see the flaws that they think are flaws, and you can still, like, I had this friend in high school, and she was gorgeous, like drop dead gorgeous, but she always projected her insecurities. Like, she was the perfect, like, I mean, like, perfect skin, perfect hair, perfect face, perfect body. Like, she had this, like, beautiful, like, hourglass body, and which is not the aesthetic everyone should go for. I'm just saying, you know, this person thought she was, like, she was insecure about her body when she should, like, I just wish that she saw what everyone else saw. And, you know, I'm not sexualizing her right now. I'm just saying she was very beautiful, and she kind of, you know, growing up, I thought she was the aesthetic that everyone wanted, you know, and she's, you know, that is very much true. And she just didn't have this confidence that she, I hope she does now. Like, I haven't spoken to her for a while, and I just hope she has the confidence now to realize that she's fucking gorgeous. Like, I think all my friends are gorgeous, and, you know, I see why, like, I can recognize why they think they are flawed, but I think those flaws make every human who they are, what they are, and even more, like, being yourself and, you know, having all these unique things about themselves, yourself, makes you so much more attractive than you ever think. Like, I should know, like, I look at myself the same way, and, you know, I understand why people think that these things are their flaws, when really they're probably their biggest asset, and they just don't know how to embrace that. I'm still going on this, like, journey myself. This is so, like, cliche, but, like, it's very much a journey. Trial and error, you know, working out what you like about yourself, working out what you don't like about yourself, changing your head, like, mind, to know what is, you know, what you like. Like, focus on what you like, not the negative things, because you'll always hate something about yourself. Focus on what you like about yourself, because you will learn to love yourself that way. You know, you'll always be offended by someone else's happiness if you don't understand the ways in which it can be projected. Like, if you project your confidence in, I guess, like, in a down-to-earth way, and you know, that's, like, kind of what I like to, I hope that I do, is I project my confidence in, you know, being down-to-earth and being honest and feeling, you know, groovy as well. Like, I am not the most insecure person in the world, but I'm not the most confident, yet I do, you know, I show that I'm confident by the way I talk and the way I walk and the way that I am feeling. Like, your body language is a massive thing, and it's a very readable sign of how you're feeling about yourself. If you're slumped, if your shoulders are forward, and, you know, or your arms are crossed when you're talking to someone, or if you're just, like, not focusing on what that person is saying and you're looking around you and stuff, they're going to notice that you're not interested, or that you're insecure, or that you don't want to talk to them, or you're uncomfortable. If you walk into a room with your shoulders held high, like, your head's high, you're looking about, you're reading the room, you're making eye contact with everyone, your pose, your like, your posture is, you know, in the, like, you have good posture, and you're just, that's basically just projecting that you're confident and that you don't care what people think, you know. It will make you, if you ever try that, walk into a room, don't look at your phone, look at everyone else, you know, make eye contact, smile, have a good posture, keep your shoulders up, you know, straighten your back, fucking just pull yourself together, walk in, take a deep breath, smile, look at people, sit down, have a conversation with people, you're projecting confidence. And once you start doing that, you will realize just how fucking powerful it feels and how powerful you are with yourself and how powerful it is to embrace what you like about yourself and what you don't, and to change it. You know, going back to egotistic, like egotism and narcissism, you know, they probably are happy with themselves, or they're either protecting themselves from being vulnerable and getting hurt, or and feeling empowered by their intimidation against others. You know, that sort of recognizes people as bullies sometimes, but it can also just be a major insecurity thing. You know, maybe sometimes the people that I feel most intimidated by are actually very insecure about themselves, which is why I try and be as confident and as, like, thorough-minded that I possibly can be. So I'm ready for any sort of fucking comment or anything, and I can just, be like, snap them back to their fucking, their low horse. Like, get off your high horse, mate. This is not your world. Like, this is, you've got to be respectful of everyone. Like, it's that sort of thing that where you're also teaching them a lesson and how to, you know, project themselves and how to basically just tell them to piss off and think about what they've said or done. And it teaches them lessons. Like, if you don't do that, then you're kind of taking, like, it doesn't matter whether you do it or not, but if, you know, they're gonna learn one way or another, so you may as well. Surrounding yourself with people who make you feel alive and loved, but also challenged at the same time. Like, you can actually have a real conversation with someone and you don't have to agree with them. And, you know, you can have not an argument, but, like, you can debate about things. Start off with fucking toxic people and unhealthy friendships and relationships. If your friendships or your households or your roommates or your relationships or your dad and mom and siblings and grandparents' relationships between you and them is drama, 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 do something to change it. You know, you can do anything. If you start off by going slow and saying, you know, telling you them how you feel and they don't respect it, then fuck them off. You know, like, go into, that was very like 1 to 100, but take some initiative and just say, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel respected. I don't feel appreciated. I'm not being selfish, but I need you to either help me out or get out of my life. You know, like, you need to act as, like, don't act this way, or why are you acting this way? Like, find out, maybe you've done something, maybe they've done something, maybe something's going on. Like, don't judge a book by its cover, but ask about their cover. Like, ask about why they're doing this thing, ask why they're being narcissistic or ignorant, or why are they, you know, disregarding your feelings. Why are they crossing boundaries, like sleeping with your exes without asking you? Or, you know, that's, if you should know if your significant, like, best friend, like, if your significant other, it doesn't have to be in a relationship, like a sexual relationship, it can be anyone. If you're closest to your mum, or if you're closest to your sisters, or, you know, like, every family has secrets, every family has problems, it's fine to address these things. Crossing boundaries with your friends, like sleeping with your exes or dating your exes or taking their clothes and not ever giving them back without telling them, and coming over whenever they want, like rocking up to their houses, expecting them to do things without the favour returned. Let's say I usually ask to go to my best mate's house when I'm at home, usually. Otherwise, I'll just, like, sometimes I do rock up, but if, you know, I would expect her to say, maybe just ask before you come, like, if she had a problem with it, like, I hope she would, like, her family, I think, would say that, definitely. So, I think just know where your boundaries lie, and if you don't, if you're not sure, Sam, fucking tell me this, please, if you're listening, if you're not sure, ask them, you know, be like, oh, you know, if I ever feel like, you know, coming out and, or coming over and you're not replying, can I just come over? Or do I just have to wait for your answer and stuff like that? Like, know your boundaries. If you point out the insecurity of your friends, you know, I've definitely done it to, I've done it before. People have done it to me, and it's not a nice thing, but it's also something that you can definitely learn from and reflect from and just grasp the idea that insecurities are a major thing, but you can help people get over them and learn to love their insecurities, learn to love what is so good about them. So yeah, but I'm gonna stop there, and I'm gonna wrap the episode up there. I don't really have enough time left for everything else I want to talk about. This is already a really long episode, so so if I just leave you with something to take away from this, is every little step that you take to better yourself and to change yourself and to take action will be worth it when you look back on it. When you've reached a certain goal, it might be a short-term goal or a long-term goal. You know, setting goals as well. Yeah, I didn't talk about setting goals, but maybe I could talk about that in a few episodes. You know, when you reach these short-term goals and realize that you've actually reached them, and you look back and you go, wow, you know, doing all of that was worth it. Going through all that, you know, heartbreak or maybe your depression, you know, you can take on board of what you learn and what you know about yourself, and, you know, imitate that in a healthy way. Not imitate it, maybe just reflect on it. Imitate the parts that really helped you get out of that struggle in your future struggles, and just take every day by day and make sure you're doing something for yourself, and that, you know, you don't have to go to that party. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to clean your room, but if you want to feel better, just fucking do it. Like, my point is, just do the things that you know are going to make you feel good. Stop doing the things that make you feel like shit. You'll regret it, and you will not regret if you stop doing it now. So that's all I'm going to talk about. All right, so, well, have a good day. Hopefully you'll be listening to this and you'll gain something from it. So thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting me. And anything you want or need, message me on Instagram. My Instagram is in Spotify feed, if you just go to look for more info or something, on my description. Anyway, take care of yourselves, take care of your brains, take care of your body. Love you all. Goodbye.